Shalom Rabbeisai. So today we'll continue with our Kavodah Torah series, in which we're learning the Torah of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. And today we'll focus on Inyani Parsha, Parshas Shmini. We're going to Torah should be a schus for the Sham Rabbi Chaim Zatzal. And this week we'll hopefully learn for two different svarim with the Torah of Rabbi Chaim. First two pieces of Torah we'll learn is from the Svarim, which is called Derech Sicha. And these Svarim, I don't believe Rechai himself wrote them, but they were put together by someone through the different the interactions that people had with Rechai, questions that they asked him, answers that he gave. And this the other Sefer we're going to learn is called Taimid Dikra, which I believe Rechai himself did author. So to start off, and the Marmar Kumos Mitzvah Shem will be uploaded for anyone who wants to follow along. They should be uploaded on Lander Torah. Okay, so the first pasuk we're gonna learn about is in Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Tes. Now, there's a bit of a hadama. The parsha here describes the forbidden birds, the birds which one cannot eat. And if you're ever following along in an English chumash, you might have a question. You might ask yourself, when I look at the English translation, it's all transliterated. I just want to know what type of bird is this in English? And you see, hey, it's transliterated. So the explanation is like this. When it comes to the animals, right, let's say a behemoth, we want to know what type of animal is kosher or treif. Well, it's very simple. If it has both simanim of kashrus, of a kosher animal, right? It chews its cud and it has split hooves. It's a kosher animal. Very simple. You look at each animal. Does it have the simanim? If yes, kosher. If not, it's not kosher. When it comes to a bird, the Torah lists certain birds which are not kosher. Therefore, by implication, every other bird is kosher. But the problem is we have to have a mesorah, a tradition for those birds. And it's not always so clear whether it's amongst the sages or amongst our Masara. It's not so clear what bird, when it's mentioned in the Chumash, it's actually referring to in our real life. We can't necessarily connect the dot from the name of the bird in the Chumash to an actual real bird out in the wild. We can't necessarily make that connection unless we have a real Masara for which birds were mentioned. Therefore, unless you have a mesorah for the actual birds that are kosher, so it becomes a little bit confusing, in which case the Torah does transliterate those birds which are not kosher, because it's not exactly clear what birds those exactly were. So to keep it simple, it does a transliteration. So in discussing the bird, the chasidah, so if you look at Rashi refers to the chasidah as what we call a stork. And Rashi comments, based on a medrash, a gemara, why is the chasidah called the chasidah? So Rashi says, Lama nikra shema chasidah? Why is it called chasidah? Right? Chasidah from the lashon of chesed, of kindness. She'ose chasidos im chavrutel b'mizonais. Because this bird, it shares food with its friends. It shares food with its friends. That is why this bird is called a chasidah, because it does chesed, as kindness with its friends. It doesn't just take the food and run away with it and keep it for itself, but it shares its food with its friends, with its companions. So the way this Sefer Derech Sicha set up, it has a shaila and a tshuva. So a question was posed to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It says, Kvar hikshu mina oimer betamu yushami. It was already, the kashya has already been asked from the Talmud Yerushalmi, right? Based on the Talmud Yerushalmi, which Tosos in Ar Shas Bavli quotes, there's a Tosos in Bav Metzia on Daf Memon Aleph, Yer Maska Vachi, and Tosos, the Girsa we have here is the Girsa that Tosos quotes. And Tosos quotes the Girsa of Yerushalmi. Vahani Achbare Rishai Ninhu. Tosos quotes from Yerushalmi, it says, the Achbare, the mice. They are Rishayim, they're evil. Why? Because kai chamion ibur lo mistaihu daachle. Because when they see food, not only do they take themselves, but elokari lekavereha in daachli mai. But they also call up their friends. They also call their friends. Come and eat. Come and eat. Come take some too. So the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says that mice are called rishayim because when they see food, they eat and they call their friends over to enjoy too. So the kasha is asked, the lama ain't zeh chasidus, right? Based off the Yerushalmi, we have a kasha. Why is that not chasidus? Because we have a chazal from the Bavli that Rashi quotes, the chasida, this bird who shares with its friend is called a chasida because it does chasid. It shares with its friends. It shares its food with its friends. So why is the achbar, the mouse, called a rasha for sharing its food? That's the kasha. So Rav Chaim answered in the tshuva. He says, chasida ma'achila es chavertel min ha-hefker. Because you know, the chasida, that bird, it found some hefker food lying around in the street. And you could acquire something that hefker doesn't belong to anybody else. So it went, it took its food, and it called its friends over here, enjoy with me. That's an act of kindness. That's a chesed. But the achbarim, achila mishal cheirim, but the achbar, the mouse, right, the mouse that's running around under the floorboards, right? Chas v'shalom, nobody should have mice. That though the mice that are running around, they're eating your food. It's not gonna have. They're eating your food that belonged to somebody. The elu cheshbon hasheni ein zechasid. And the cheshbon of somebody else, when the mouse is saying, "Come enjoy somebody else's food," that's a chasid. Right? Somebody invites you over for a meal for Shabbos. For any time, and you see, yeah, you say, come your friends, you know, why don't you tag along, come on over, and your friends also so grateful to you, oh, thanks for inviting me, you didn't do anything, you invited your friend to somebody else's house, that's not called chassidus, that's not called chesed, that's not called kindness, that's the territory Rav Chaim gives, there's a chiluk in the case of the chassida, that's when, true kindness is when you give of your friend, something that's half good and belonging to be us, when you give your friend something to eat from food that belongs to somebody else, that's not called a chesed, and that's what the achbarim are called rishayim in that case. Now we'll go on to another piece from the same sefer, Derech Sicha. And me'inyin le'inyin, we discussed the other day from one of the svarim of Rechaim or Chos Yosher. And here, they comment from something which Rechaim says himself in the sefer Ochos Yosher. Now, in Lashon HaKodesh, we refer to forbidden foods as ma'achalos asurus, right? Foods which are forbidden to eat. So in the Sefer Orchos Yosher, Rav Chaim comments, Kosov, he says, b'makom pikuach nefesh, ein ma'achalos asurus mitamtem libo shel adam. Rav Chaim writes there in the Sefer there, in Orchos Yosher, that if for the sake of pikuach nefesh, for the sake of saving a life, if one's life is at stake, one would be allowed to eat forbidden foods, and those forbidden foods which he eats would not be metamtem his lev, meaning it would not have a spiritual defect on his heart. It wouldn't spiritually defect him by eating for non-kosher foods. Right, we know Chazal tell us when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Moshe Rabbeinu, he would not nurse from the Mitzri women. So Bas Paro, she had to go around to find somebody. She had to go around to find. So Miriam showed up and said, I'll take her to one of the Jewish women to nurse, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he was going to speak to Shekhinah. He didn't want to have milk from these Mitzri women who ate non-kosher foods. Therefore, there's an idea that Eating forbidden foods, it's metamtein the lev. So the kash was asked, the shaila. The kash was asked, b'sefer meshech chachma, the sefer meshech chachma, which is the parish on the chumash, in parts of Ayas Hanan, the meshech chachma comments that a choyle he's in a sakana, a state of sakana, and he needs to eat something on Shabbos. and there's nothing there, you have two options. Either you can shecht an animal, which shechita is forbidden to do on Shabbos, or you can take an animal which is already shechted, it's a nevela, it's already dead, but did not have a proper shechita, which one can only eat an animal that had a proper shechita, proper slaughtering. Those are your two choices. So says the Meshech Chachma, you should feed him from the animal that has to be shechted. Also, shechita Shabbos, you should feed him from the animal that was shechted on Shabbos. Below nevela, why? Meshum timtum, because it's going to be tamed in the lathe. Av shehu b'malkan pekuach nefesh. That's against Ruchaim. Ruchaim just said, when you eat forbidden foods, treifa foods, they're metamed in the lathe. They have a spiritual defect on a person. But for the sake of pekuach nefesh, that's not true, says Ruchaim. But the Meshech Chachma tells us, if a person is in sakana, he's in danger, he has to eat. It's life-saving. And his only choice is either to shecht an animal on Shabbos, do a malacha on Shabbos, or to take an animal which was a nevela. It did not have a proper slaughtering, but you don't have to do a malacha on Shabbos. It's better to do the malacha. Even though the other animal has already been shechted, because that other animal is a nevela, it have a spiritual defect on one's heart. So Reb Chaim and the Tshuva answers, no, kevon she'efshar b'nin acher. When is it true that eating ma'achalos asuras forbidden foods do not have a spiritual defect? That's when there's no other option. When there's no other option and that's what you have to do, then those ma'achalos asuras will not metamtin the lev. But if you have another choice, like in the case of the Meshech Chachma, where you could choose to do the shechita of the animal and eat that animal, then if you were to choose the other animal, the nevela in that case, which would be not kosher to eat, machal sasuros, then it will be matamti in the lave. So there's a clear difference, as Reb Chaim, when it's efshar, be'inyan acher, when it's possible to get the food in another way, in the case of Meshech Chachma, by doing shechita, then that would be what one should do. And if you were to choose the other option, of the nevela, it would indeed be tempting the lathe. But if there's no other option, the only thing you have is the machalos asuros, and you need it for pekuach nefesh, then Rechaim would tell you, no, in that case, it would not be tempting the lathe. For the last shekel Torah from the Sefer Tamei Dekra, this we know a little bit of background. So the Torah in Parsha Shmini describes, let's find it here, so the Torah describes the passing of impurity. So the parsha we refer to as Shemona Shratzim, that there are eight creatures in which their dead bodies, their carcasses, transmit tumah. They transmit impurity. Now, the Torah tells us that in order for impurity to be transmitted to a food item, there has to be something called a machshir, right? The word machshir comes from the word of hechshir, right? If you've heard ever of a hechshir mitzvah, right? By sukkah, there's a build. The mitzvah is sitting in a sukkah. The hechshir mitzvah is building the sukkah, meaning a hechshir means a preparation. So the hechshir mitzvah of sukkah, of the mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah, but the hechshir mitzvah, the preparation for the mitzvah is building the sukkah. So hechshir means to prepare. So there's a concept of machshir, preparation. So when it comes to tumah tahara, for food, there needs to be a preparation. In order for a food item to accept an impurity, it has to be, quote unquote, prepared for that impurity. Therefore, the Torah tells us that a food item needs to have become wet, has to become moist. It has to have become wet in order to be susceptible to impurity. And we learn from Mishnah in Machshirin, all the way at the end of the Shisha Sidur Mishnah in Taros, in Perek Vav Mishnah Dalin, it tells us there are seven liquids that can be machshir a food, that can prepare a food to be able to accept impurity. There is a there's an acronym to remember these seven machshiritim. It's Yad Shachat Dam. Yad, Yodalid, Yud stands for, these are the seven machshiritim. Yud is Yayin. Dalid is Dam. Dam, blood. Blood is one of the liquids that transmit Tumah. Shin, Shemen, oil. The Ches, call of, milk. Tes, Tau, do. And the last acronym, right, Yad, Shachat, Dam, the Dalit is Dvash, honey, bee honey, referring to bee honey. And the last one, Mem, Mayim. And in our pasuk here, the pasuk is in Perik Yud Aleph, pasuk Lamed Dalet. And the pasuk says, "Mikol ha'oichel asher yachel asher yavo alav mayim yitama." Any food which is edible and water comes upon it, yitama, it should be contaminated. It should be tame. Like one of these shona shrutzen touches a food item which is edible to eat, and it and water had come upon it, it will transmit tumah. So the pasuk tells us, it lists one of the seven machshiri tumah, mayim. So Reb Chaim points out, he gives us an allusion in the pasuk to the other six machshiritim. The pasuk only mentions one, mayim. So if you look in the last piece, it says Mikol ha'ichel asher yachel asher yavo alav mayim yitama. Ksiv yavo. The pasuk says yavo malei vav. Now there's a concept of malei and chasim, meaning sometimes the Torah writes something malei, complete, full. Meaning, for example, I'll give you an example. Sukkah, the word sukkah, right? Like sukkahs. A sukkah, that which we sit in on sukkahs, a sukkah can be spelled samech chaf hey or samech vav chaf hey. So if it's spelled samech vav chaf hey, that's called malim with the vav there. But it can be spelled without that vowel and it's still pronounced the same way, samech chaf hey, and it's still sukkah. But that would be written chasim. So with the vav, it's male, without the vav, it's chasim. So you have that throughout the Torah. And there are many times you find that this idea of male and chasim. So here, in our instance, you have the word yavo. Right? Yud, veis, vav, aleph, yavo. So it could also be spelled without the vav. It could be spelled yud, veis, aleph, but it's not. And Rav Chaim points out, berov haTorah. If you go out to the majority of the Torah, the majority of the five books in the Torah, Yavo is spelled Chaser. It's spelled Yod, Beis, Aleph. That is what you will find Ruba de Ruba times the Torah, Yod, Beis, Aleph. Chaser, written Chaser. Yet, in our instance, it's written Malay with the Vav. So says Reb Chaim, there's an illusion here. There's a remez. The fact, the vav, this instant, it's not written chaser like most of the times in the Torah. It's written malay. There's an allusion to something. The Yesh Loimar says Reb Chaim, what's the allusion? Shebo l'rames is coming to hint to us, to allude to us. Yesh od vav mashkim shemachshirin milvad mayim. There are six additional liquids that prepare a food for tuma aside from water, mayim. The pasuk mentions one of them. It mentions mayim. Remember, there are six more. There are seven machshiri tuma. So the vav, the extra vav, which has numerical value of six, the extra vav in the word yavo alludes to the additional six machshiri tuma, seven in total. And that is the allusion, Reb Chaim says. That's why it says yavo here, male and chaser, like it is in most of the Torah. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and Mitzvah Hashem will continue learning the Torah of Chaim. It should be a schus for Neshama, and a schus for all of Klal Yisrael. Until next time.